Appreciate these songs tonight. Ain't they been a blessing to you? I know that's not proper English, but that's the way we say it. They've been a blessing to us, and we appreciate these words tonight. In the book of Micah, if you want to open your Bibles there, to in the fifth chapter, book of Micah is where we'll be reading from, and it's one of the lesser prophets of the Word of God. If you go back and find Jonah, and then go to the next book is Micah, right before Nahum, is where you'll find it. In my Bible, if yours is like mine, it's about page 904. But I doubt yours is like mine. But we appreciate these songs. Appreciate seeing each and every one of you out to the house of the Lord this evening. And I just ask that you pray for us for just a few minutes of time that we stand before you. Tonight. Everybody found Micah, the fifth chapter. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with us if you would, starting at verse 1, reading through and including verse 4. He says in verse 1, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou that though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore we will give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." And stop reading there with verse 4, and you can be seated in the house of God. Taking for a thought tonight, for a few minutes of time, why weren't they looking for him? Or why did they not look for him to come? The Bible teaches us that the era in which this prophecy was given, that there was the word that was given that there would be a Messiah that would come. In the Old Testament, there's over 300 prophecies alone saying that the Messiah would come to this earth to deliver his people from their sins. And here we have it that I don't think that it could have been spelled out any clearer than what Micah, the minor prophet, gave to us from the Word of God. And tell them not just that he was coming, but told them exact city in which he would be born. And still, they weren't looking for him to come. And people might say, well, and I thought about this today, if I knew that he was coming, if I'd been living in that time and I knew that he was coming, how many of you like me, we would have uprooted and moved the whole family down to Bethlehem to catch this Messiah that was coming, the Savior of the world. But many of them still did not believe that he was coming. They'd heard it for too long. They'd heard that he's coming, but he all these years. My grandfather and great-grandfather told him and told my father. My father told me, and still he hasn't come. The news got old, and they began to get in despair. And even some probably gave up that the Messiah would come and save them out of this miserable condition in which they were in. Another reason why they weren't looking for him to come, how many of you got your Bibles with you tonight? They didn't have a Bible. There was only one word, and it was the manuscripts. And anybody that had any portion of the Word of God, it's what they copied out of the original manuscripts. They didn't have a Bible like you and I have. They had the Word that was shared as God gave it to men as they preached and as the prophets gave it to them. But they didn't have a Bible to open up to Micah in the fifth chapter and say in the second verse that the Bible says he's coming to Bethlehem. They didn't have that Word that we have tonight. We ought to be glad that we have a Bible that we can open up at any time and read what God says to his people. And allow it to just bless our hearts and bless our souls. Give us strength. Give us encouragement. Everything that we stand in need of, I find it in the Word of God. But they didn't have this book. You and I are living in the best of times to be a Christian when it comes to that alone. And not only that, but here it is, it's Micah. It's a minor prophet. The word didn't come by one of the major prophets. It wasn't given by Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel or Samuel. It wasn't given by one of them. It was the little known prophet by the name of Micah. If I could put this in to relationship tonight, everybody had heard or word had traveled about these major prophets, but probably not many people knew about Micah. He was sent to a certain locale. He stayed there. He preached the word that God gave to him. He didn't travel far. But the word he had would bring forth great news to those that would receive it. And also, they didn't really respond, and they weren't looking for him, because why would a king be born in Bethlehem? Did it not say that it was the smallest of the thousands of Judah? Little among the thousands of Judah. Bethlehem was not a big city. It was an outcast city, if you'll have it. It was just a small place. And I'm trying to think of something that's really small. If we're down back and I used to live, I guess I could say Sherman, Kentucky. How many of you have ever heard of Sherman, Kentucky? Just a few hands that went up. It's just a little hole in the wall on 25 before you get to Dry Ridge. It's not much. I seen Tara looking around. Her town is big compared to Sherman. Sherman don't even have a stoplight. Doesn't even have a post office box. Or a post office, I should say. Bethlehem was small. It wasn't well known. It was not some great city. And another reason yet why they wasn't looking for him to come, especially in Bethlehem, is that this man that was to come, the Savior of the world, was to be a king. Why would you look in a manger for a king to be born? Wouldn't you be looking over at the castle where the king lives at? They was looking for somebody of royalty to be born. Every time a child was born into Pharaoh's house, they probably thought, this is the Messiah. This is going to be the Savior of all Israel. But he was not born in the king's palace. He was born in a manger. And not any, we read about the word, and Steve, I can't find anywhere in the word of God that anybody was there except for Mary and Joseph. And people say, what about the wise men? They came later to the house. What about the shepherds? They came after the child was born, because the star guided them to the manger where he lay. He was already born. Nobody else was around that we have record of. There could have been others, but folks, if anybody else was there, it was by chance. It wasn't that they was looking for the Messiah to come to Bethlehem in a manger. And I think about all of these folks that could have been there when the Messiah was born, and could have been part of the jubilee that took place when the heavens opened up and the great sound came from the throne of God. They could have been there when the angels brought them there and introduced. They could have been there when the wise men came to the house to bring gifts unto the king. But yet they wasn't looking for a little boy, a son of a carpenter, to be the Messiah. They was looking for somebody that had royalty in their blood. He may not have earthly royalty in his blood, but he had royalty in his blood when he came from heaven down to this earth. People say, well, he was Mary and Joseph's son. He was Mary's son, and his father was the Holy Ghost. He had heavenly royalty in his bloodline. And folks, because we have been born again of Jesus Christ, we have royalty bloodline in ours tonight. God took a bunch of nobodies and made somebody out of us. That ought to make somebody want to rejoice on a Wednesday night at the close of November that God took and gave us something that the world didn't have back then, and that they weren't looking for Him. And they wasn't a whole big congregation that was there. And all of this reminds me of what He says in the book of Matthew. And people weren't looking for Him then. And if we can go back to Sunday morning's message, people still are not looking for Him to come. I'm up in years and I have heard even my grandfather and my father stand and preach that Jesus is coming soon. The world knows. Today we have no excuse. We have the Word. The Word of God is on the airways. We have men that are out there telling people, get ready because Jesus is coming soon. We may not all agree with their doctrines and all that they preach, but if they preach that He's coming soon, that's enough of our warning that people ought to be looking for Jesus to come at any time. Because He said, in the hour that you think not, that's when He's going to come. I'm sure if I can go back for just a few minutes and cover just a little bit more, I'm sure that when all these prophecies were given in the Old Testament, I'm sure that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel, they were looking for the Savior to come in their day. You say, how can you say that they were looking for Him? You remember Paul told them that he was looking for Christ to come in his day. Because he said, us that are alive and remain shall not prevent those that are dead from getting up. But after they get up, then we'll rise also. He was looking for Christ to come in the clouds. But many of our people today, knowing that we're celebrating Christmas and knowing that the prophecy was given, that He would come and they weren't looking for Him, it brings us right to today, and that it has been preached for as we go into 2012, over 2,000 years it's been preached that Jesus is coming soon. You remember that they was told in the Word, why stand ye here gazing, ye men of Galilee, into the heavens? This same Jesus who you see ascending will come in like manner. And folks, we ought to know Jesus is coming soon. But let me put this in. He's not coming to a manger the second time. He's coming, as He says in the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter. He said immediately in the 29th verse, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory with power and great glory. He's coming, church. I don't know the day nor the hour. In fact, the Bible says in verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when He's coming. There was somebody who said the other day that it was prophesied, I can't remember, somebody gave the prediction, I should say, that Jesus was coming in 2012. I believe that this is the latest forecast. During my adulthood, days, I've heard them say probably 7 or 8 different times, maybe 10 times, Billy, that He's coming. Some folks would call the pastor and say, if He's really coming, don't you think we ought to get together at the church so we can all go up at the same time? Folks, no man knows the day nor the hour that He's coming. But we know this, He is coming again. His second time He's coming, He's coming with power and glory. He's not coming to steal anybody's kingdom. He's not coming to take over anybody's kingdom. Can I preach for a few minutes of time tonight? He's already got a kingdom. His kingdom is in the hearts of men and women that love Him. But He's coming in the clouds of glory. And the Bible says that the angels, if I can read on, that the angels will gather His people from in verse 31, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's going to come, and they're going to gather us up, and we're going to take a flight toward the heavenly home that's been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And people say, how do you know that heaven is that been there all that time? Where did God come from? He, from eternity past, He's always been been in heaven. There's never been a time that there was not a heaven. There was a time that there was no earth. God spoke it into existence. People say, well, this earth's been here for billions and billions and billions of years. Somebody's got their clocks wrong. And that's the truth. People say, well, you don't believe all the historical artifacts. I believe all that, but I believe what the Word of God says more than I believe what man says carbon dating can take back. How many millions of years it was. I don't know how long it's been here. But I don't believe it's been here no billions and millions and millions and millions of years. And I got off my message tonight. But it's the truth. There's too much garbage being preached. Micah said, you better get ready because the Savior's coming. And He will save His people from their sins. The messenger Gabriel brought to Mary and to Joseph, you're going to bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. He's going to be the one that's going to save our lost people. Folks, let me tell you, we ought to be able to rejoice knowing that it's not in your name or my name or the governor's name or even the president of this country or even the leader of the United Nations whose name that our people can be saved in. But it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Only in His name can they be saved. Only in His name can people be restored. And only in His name can the miracles that we stand in need of come to our household. It's not about the life and the Christmas tree and the gifts. It's about knowing the Lord as your Savior and my Savior and knowing that we're not going to have to die and just go back to the dust like some animal. But when we die, folks, don't think that I'm gone forever, because if I die before you, you'll see me coming in the clouds of glory with the Father Himself to get the rest of the family and go home for eternity. He said in His Word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen to why they're not looking for Him to come. In verse 37 of the 24th chapter of Matthew, He says, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Many of our people today are eating and drinking, they're marrying and giving in marriage, and they're having the time of their life. Not even giving attention to the fact that this might be the day, it might be in the morning, it might be tomorrow at noontime or tomorrow night. People say, you got hopes that He's coming back. Folks, sometimes I get so down and out, and I get so depressed, and people say, well, I didn't know we had a pastor that could get down and out and depressed. How many of you get down and out and depressed? Amen? When the things of this world come against you, when the things of life, when things don't go the way that you anticipated or you planned, folks, we're all human. It comes against us. Rob, when we see our loved ones suffering with sickness, it comes against us. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, how long are You going to tarry Your coming and allow Your people to go through all these difficult things that we're facing? But folks, in the hour while the world is running around out there acting like they've got all their lives, and then having more lives to get ready to have to worry about Him coming, they're not looking for Jesus to come. But I know that there's two or three, that there are some, He said, when I come, I will find a remnant that is looking for Me to come. I hope that we can all say, whether the world looks for Him or not, I'm looking for Jesus to come and take us out of this sin-filled world. I've had about enough of sin and living in it and being around it, surrounded by it. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sin, where we can really enjoy the Lord. And let me put this in. I said this on Sunday when I was talking about people coming and visiting with us on Sunday morning services, and I told him, he asked me if we get out around 12 o'clock, and I said, yeah, we get out a little bit after 12, maybe sometimes a little bit before 1. You know, I said that a little bit lightly, you know, because that scares people to death. But folks, let me tell you, we're going to a camp meeting that's going to start and it's never going to come to an end, where people won't get tired of praising the Lord. People People won't get tired of singing. People won't get tired of shouting. You say, well, what about preaching? You don't have to worry about preaching over there because there's nobody to preach to. They're only the ones that's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are there, and we will be there for all eternity praising God that in Bethlehem a Savior was born to save us from our sins, folks. It's more than just Christmas. It's a time of celebration that we can give and praise, honor, and glory unto God, whether our neighbors do or not. Let them hang the lights. Let them hang the trees. There's nothing wrong with lights and trees. Don't get me wrong. Tonight, I just haven't been up to Becky put up the trees and all that stuff. Normally, I put some lights outside, and I've been busy for one thing and another thing. It just hasn't got me excited yet to put them out, and I might not even put them out. I don't know. My happiness around Christmas is not measured by the number of lights I got hung on the outside of the house. My measurement of Christmas is thanking God that He allowed His Son to come, leave heaven, and come down here for a bunch of sinners like us so we could come together on a Wednesday night in a missionary Baptist church and say, I am saved beyond a shadow of a doubt because Jesus come. They wasn't looking for Him. Folks, I wasn't looking for Him, but He found me in the midst of my sins, pulled me out of the hog pen of sin and saved me, and now I'm looking for Him to come again to take me home to glory. And He's coming. The Pains used to sing a song that said, ready or not, He's coming again. And let me close with this thought tonight. People say, why do you get so excited about heaven? And I go back to the sister's song. Because everything that is wrong in my life, everything that is wrong in your life, everything that is wrong in this world. Brother Holcomb made mention of a nephew, that is strung out on drugs. Folks, he's not talking about a teenager. He's talking about a middle-aged man. Am I right? He's talking about a middle-aged man. I look at all these things that's going wrong in that life and my people's lives and your people's lives. You know what heaven's going to do? It's going to fix it all. We're going to a place where there'll be no more heartaches. No more sorrows, no more pains. Because the Bible says, for the former things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Amen? No more graveyards. No more funerals. No more weddings. Amen? Some of you amen to funerals, but you won't amen to weddings. All these things, the aches and pains that we go through, I won't have to worry about getting up and going to a job. That'll make us, Steve, want to holler and just praise the Lord. People say, well, you got to work. Yes, you do. Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. How many of you still believe what the Bible says? Amen. Amen. But heaven is going to fix everything that is wrong in this world. And you know what the biggest thing is that's wrong in this world? Jesus came to save men and women from sin. I think when I said it before, I may have put an S on the end of it. In the scripture, it says sin. Because anything that is against God is sin. Can I close with this? In God's eyes, there's not different levels of sin. It's all sin. It's all sin. And for those that don't love His appearing, who is it? Why they're not looking for Him? It's because there's sin in their life. They're not looking for Him to come. But folks, to those that love Him and know Him, we're not perfect. None of us are. But Brother Steve, I'm looking for Him to come because He is going to take all the prophecies and all the promises of this Word and open it up before our eyes. And then we shall see His glory like we've never seen it before. I can't hardly wait. I get so excited. Let me tell you why. I love a good old Pentecostal holiness, Church of God, Baptist Spirit-filled worship service. People say, well, you don't even know what doctrine you are. I'm Baptist. But I love the worship with Pentecostal Church of God and Holiness and Baptist folks that are the old time Baptists, because they don't care to follow the Spirit of God. And if the Lord lays an amen on them, they'll amen. If He lays a shout, they'll shout. They just come to praise the Lord. Folks, that's the kind of reunion I'm going to when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory. They weren't looking for Him. We're not looking for Him. Even us as Christians, when we're in a church, we say we're looking for Him. But how many of us, when we're outside of church, is looking for Him to come? Every time I see a sky that's got a different coloration in it, I think this could be the day. Every time I hear of a great wind blowing by, I think this could be the day. We don't know when He's coming. But we know this, church, He is coming. If it's not in my lifetime, it may be in my children's lifetime. But we better get ready. We better be watching and praying. We better be looking. Because He is coming in the clouds of glory. Robin Sharon gives a song of invitation tonight. Maybe you haven't been looking. Maybe tonight you've given up hope of Him coming and restoring and making all things new in your life. Maybe we're even at the point that we're Christians, have heard it for so long that we've become almost deaf to the word that He said. Many of the prophets, fellow people of Israel, many of them, while they was in bondage, no doubt many of them thought, we'll never get out of here. During the Old Testament, many of the children thought, I've heard that word and heard it, that the Messiah's coming, and here I am now, I'm old, and He's not come. But sure enough, in a manger in Bethlehem, on the appointed day, Mary and Joseph made their journey. And there on their journey in Bethlehem, she brought forth a male son. And they called His name Jesus. They wasn't looking for Him. But He came. People say, well, when they got news He was coming. No, when the news was that He was there, you remember God told him to go down into Egypt. Because Pharaoh wanted to kill Him. The devil has been against Him ever since the beginning. And he will be against him, and he will be against us until we're out of this life. The last battle the devil is going to get, the victory over us, is death itself. He's going to take our lives away from us. But folks, all he's doing is taking this physical life. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? You may have taken this physical body, but I've got a spiritual body waiting on me, Brother Ron. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song, just one verse tonight. How is it with you? Are you watching? Are you looking for Him to come? Is your family looking for Him to come? Your friends, your co-workers, do they know that Jesus is coming? He's coming tonight. Bless you, Brother Dave. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else that needs to take that step? Our eyes need to be sharper, looking for the Lord to come. Our hearts need to be prepared that it could happen today. How about you and yours? Yes. Well, they pause for just 1 minute, Rob, if you would. You Bible readers remember the scripture when Jesus was there on the cross. And He told the women, He says, women, weep not for Me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. He knew He was going to a better place. They would be left behind in this awful world that was filled with sin. When Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says he wept. Becky and I have had this conversation many times over the years. I was always taught in Sunday school, Billy, that he wept because that was Lazarus, his friend that was dead. And I believe that's part of the reason why he did weep. But I believe the other part is that he had to bring Lazarus back to this world of the living, away from paradise where he was at. And I believe it broke his heart to have to bring him back to this sin-filled world. See, the Lord knew that he was in a better place. Folks, I miss my loved ones, and you miss yours. But if they left here knowing Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin, they've gone to a better place than where you and I are at tonight. All their laboring and toiling is over with. They're resting under the altar of God, and they're waiting for our appearance. We shall see them again, and we ought to be able to rejoice knowing that we're going to have a family reunion over there like we never had down here. Steve and Jim have testified for many years about their family reunions, and they count up how many people there are, and there's only a handful of them that's saved. Could you imagine going to a family reunion where everybody was saved? Where everybody enjoyed the Lord and was looking for His appearing? What a time that would be. Well, folks, let me get you excited tonight. We're going to a family reunion where there'll be no lost. Everybody there will be in one mind and one accord just to praise the Lord for all eternity. One more verse and then we'll close tonight. While these are praying, anybody else that needs to come and pray? Anybody else that just wants to bring your burden to the Lord? Bring your cares. He said in His Word, cast your burden upon Me. He said in the Word, come boldly before His throne to find help, present help in the time of need. How is it with you? Kneel at that cross. Yes. Why aren't we looking? He's coming, church. Yes. Amen and amen. We're going to close tonight with an altar of prayer. And the reason why, this is Wednesday night prayer meeting. But that's not the reason why. The reason why is because there's so many folks. People sometimes will stop me and say, Roger, would you remember this one and remember that one? Some of them, they'll tell me some of the details. And folks, I don't need to know the details. If God lays up on your heart, that's fine. But Becky can tell you this. Whatever you say to me stays with me. That's as far as it goes. But all these things that folks say to me, and I appreciate they have confidence in me, but there's very, very little that I can do. But I know a man who can take every little thing that's wrong with every one of us. What I can't do, He can do. People say, I've been praying for years now about giving up on the Lord. Answer my prayers. In the hour that you think not, the Lord will send an answer to that prayer. People say, do you really believe that? If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. And if I didn't believe it, I'd stop preaching and go look for another Savior that could do what I had need of. But I'm promising you, and I stand here before you tonight declaring that I've never, ever seen God fail His people. He always comes through. So would you come in with us tonight, everyone that can. And I know oftentimes you pray in your pews and that's good. But tonight, if you'll come in with us and we'll close with an altar of prayer, Brother Jim, because there's folks here who's got burdens on their hearts. It breaks their hearts. They pray and just weep. And that's what the Bible teaches us to do, is to bring our cares to the Lord and cast them upon Him. Because what you and I can't do, He can do. Tonight, you pray as God moves in your heart for all these many needs that there are.